Okay, the book of Jeremiah. We continue verse by verse through Jeremiah. We come today to chapter 37, and we begin in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, and by the way, I'm reading out of the NIV today. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He reigned in place of Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim. And so Zedekiah, the final king of Judah, was really a puppet of the king of Babylon. He was made king by Babylon, which is conquering Israel here slowly but surely. And it says in verse 2, neither he nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words of the Lord, or that the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. And that was the problem. And, you know, if the fact that a foreign power is in the process of conquering your nation, if that doesn't make you wake up spiritually, well, I guess your heart is hardened. And I guess nothing will. And nothing did. Verse 3. King Zedekiah, however, sent Jehuel, son of Shelemiah, with the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet, with this message: please pray to the Lord our God for us. Now, see, he feared the wrath of God, the king did, yet not enough to fully repent, or even treat the prophet well, as we will see. Verse 4, now Jeremiah was free to come and go among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison, and that's coming later. Pharaoh's army had marched out of Egypt, and when the Babylonians, who were besieging Jerusalem, heard the report about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. Well, part of the king's prayer request to Jeremiah was, will you ask God if Babylon is going to return to Jerusalem and finish us off, or is this a permanent thing? They've withdrawn from us. 6. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land, to Egypt. Well, that's bad news, because the message, in essence, from God was the help that you expected from Egypt, Israel, the help that you expected from Egypt is not going to come. Babylon's going to drive them right back. Verse 8. Then the Babylonians will return and attack this city. They will capture it and burn it down. Bad news. Bad news indeed. Jerusalem will fall. God has not changed his mind because his people have not changed their ways. Verse 9. This is what the Lord says. Do not deceive yourselves thinking the Babylonians will surely leave us. They will not. And say, God is saying, do not have false hopes about getting away with your sin, because you're not going to get away with your sin. Don't have false hopes of getting away with it if you have not repented. Verse 11. After the Babylonian army had withdrawn from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, and, you know, God will prevail using little or much. That's for sure. Notice verse 10 and 11 together. I didn't read verse 10. I need to do that. Because it says, even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that is attacking you, and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would come out and burn this city down. So, like I said, God will prevail using little or much. Even if all that was left were handicapped people in the Babylonian army, they would still capture Jerusalem, God says. See, God does not need man's power or the wealth of this world to succeed. He can do it just fine all by himself. 11. After the Babylonian army had withdrawn from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah started to leave the city to go to the territory of Benjamin to get his share of the property among the people there. Well, while there was a short break in the invasion of Babylon, Jeremiah wanted to take care of some legal issues, so he took advantage of the lull in fighting. You know, we should not get caught up in the things of this world. As God's people, we should not. But since we live here, we must deal with the things of this world. This is the place that God has us, so we must function in it. Verse 13. But when he reached the Benjamin gate, the captain of the guard, whose name was Arijah, son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananah, arrested him and said, "You are deserting to the Babylonians." Well, by the word of God, remember, Jeremiah has been telling the Israelites that they need to surrender to Babylon. If they surrender to Babylon, well, at least they will save their lives. But they were not supposed to fight against Babylon. That was God's word through Jeremiah. And that may be why this officer thought Jeremiah was a traitor. And he arrested him. 14. "That's not true," Jeremiah said. "I'm not deserting to the Babylonians." But Arijah would not listen to him. Instead, he arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. The Bible says that we are not to judge by appearance, but to make a righteous judgment. This officer judged by the appearance. It appeared that maybe Jeremiah was being a traitor. That's what it might have appeared to be, but it wasn't true. So he made a wrong assessment of the situation. 15. They were angry with Jeremiah and had him beaten and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan the secretary, which they had made into a prison. So, you know, sometimes people say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, one reason, a reason you see here, is because bad people find it easier to jump to wrong conclusions and do bad things to those good people, and that's why sometimes the good people suffer. It's because of injustice, like you see right here. It is not God's will. Verse 16. Jeremiah was put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon where he remained a long time. How long? I don't know, but this is really terrible persecution. Jeremiah was placed in an underground cell. Can you imagine how damp and cold and dark that was? He's placed in this damp, cold cell after being beaten for no good reason. We Christians today should not complain, should we? Look at this poor man. And all he did was speak the truth and live for God. 17. Then King Zedekiah sent for him and had him brought to the palace, where he asked him privately, "Is there any word from the Lord?" "Yes," Jeremiah replied, "you will be handed over to the king of Babylon." Well, the king is inquiring of God, and he's probably sorry that he did, because it's not good news. Mistreating the prophet did not change the bad news for the king. If anything, it just added to his guilt and increased his punishment all the more. 18. Then Jeremiah said to the king, or to King Zedekiah, "What crime have I committed against you, or your officials, or this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesied to you, 'The king of Babylon will not attack you or this land'?" Yeah, that's a good question. In other words, where are those prophets, those popular preachers who said God's people could sin with impunity? Where are they now? Now that the wrath of God has come, where are they? Those good time preachers who preach nothing but positive messages to sinners. Where are they now? Now that judgment has hit, is the question. Verse 20. "But now, my lord the king, please listen. Let me bring my petition before you. Do not send me back to the house of Jonathan, the secretary, or I will die there." He is pleading for his life at this point. And he hasn't done anything worthy of death. He's asking for the king to protect him. In verse 21, King Zedekiah then gave orders for Jeremiah to be placed in the courtyard of the guard and given bread from the street of the bakers each day until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard. Well, the king showed Jeremiah some favor here, and at least is taking care of him somewhat. He took Jeremiah out of the terrible underground dungeon, and he put him at least in somewhat of a better prison. And you see, God was protecting Jeremiah, even while he was in prison, suffering for righteousness' sake. And we'll pick it up in chapter 38 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.